Bequest to the Nation by Terence Rattigan. With Sean Phillips as Emma Hamilton, Michael Bryant as Lord Nelson, Anna Massey as Lady Nelson, and Alan Lake as Captain Hardy. Bequest to the Nation.
My jewel case, please, is in that hat box.
Very well, ma'am.
Is that today's Chronicle, dear?
A special edition.
How long have we?
The London coach goes in half an hour. We should leave in about 10 minutes.
Is there anything in the Chronicle about us?
Despite the suddenness of Lord Nelson's return to England, it appears that he has already invited many of his family and friends to visit him at his house at Merton. Among residents of Bath so honoured are his sister Catherine and her husband Mr. George Matcham, the well-known financier.
I never cared for. It sounds as if...
I dealt in finance, I do.
But as if you did so as a business.
I do so as a business.
But not as a businessman, dear. That is what always sounds so unrefined.
Then I am unrefined.
There's no need to get in a popper. What else does it say about us?
Nothing more about us. Something about young George joining us at Merton next week when his college term ends.
I rather wish they had not mentioned that.
Why?
People might think it, well, not quite suitable. I mean, in the circumstances.
Oh, our son is no longer a child, madam.
He may not be a child, dear, but his knowledge of the world is extremely limited.
Yes, and it is high time it was enlarged.
Is there much there about our dear Emma?
Very much.
Nothing, I trust, out of place.
Oh, damn it, madam, what in this case is in place?
If it is written with delicacy.
It sounds far worse. Here we have her flitting about between her house in Clarges Street and her temporary abode at Merton.
Temporary is perfectly delicate.
How delicate is this? Temporary abode at Merton, where she will no doubt be pleased to enact that role of honorary hostess to the house of Nelson, which befits her ladyship as gracefully in her widowhood as ever it did in former times when her husband, Sir William the Lord Nelson, and her ladyship were all three joined together in bonds of perfect amity. Tria juncta in uno, three joined in one.
I have explained that situation to George.
I'm sure that your explanation was a model of refinement and sensibility.
Hush, dear. Here he is.
Won't you miss the coach, brother?
No, we have time.
It would be awful if you did miss it.
I think we've even time for another cup of coffee.
I wish I could come with you. A week's an awfully long time to wait.
Will you be nervous arriving at Clarges Street all on your own?
Yes, of course. I'm always nervous of him anyway. I haven't seen him for nearly 3 years. I know he's the gentlest and kindest man alive, but, well, he is Nelson.
Yes, Betsy?
Lady Nelson's compliments to you both, and might she have two words with you? She's waiting outside.
Huh?
Outside this house?
Yes, ma'am, in her chaise.
Well, quite aside from the propriety of that, she has left it rather too late.
Just two words, her ladyship said. She's read by the papers how you're both going to Merton House today, and she's most anxious to see you.
Well, the insensibility of it. What a cold, hard, conniving bitch. Oh, George, you did not hear that.
I did.
Oh, wait till I tell Horatio of this latest exploit of Tom Tit. Do you know what I think she's going to do now? I think she's going to blockade us in here so that we can't possibly go to our carriage without passing her chaise and talking. Well, if she thinks that, she's in for a very big surprise.
We are leaving now, Tom.
Kitty, we could easily send Betsy to tell the carriage to come to the back door.
The back door? To avoid Tom Tit? What kind of man are you?
A man civilized enough to wish to avoid causing hurt to a member of his family.
Oh, Master George, I do envy you.
I'm not surprised, Betsy.
Fancy sitting in the same room with him and looking at him close. Do you know what I think? You're the luckiest young chap in the whole of England.
Well, to be frank, Betsy, I think I am too.
Oh, that's the post. Good morning, George.
Oh. Your ladyship.
Am I no longer Aunt Frances?
Aunt Frances?
You've grown. That jacket is far too small for you. Kitty never did understand how quickly boys grow out of things.
I must go to my class, so if your ladyship will forgive me...
Her ladyship will not forgive you. Nor will your Aunt Frances, who knows perfectly well what time your classes start. Sit down, George. You're going to Merton next week?
Yes.
On what day?
Thursday.
I'm going to London on Tuesday, to my house in Somerset Street. I shall be there several weeks. Is this coffee still hot?
I'll order some more.
No, this will do. It's an extra cup. It's almost as if they expected me to breakfast. Your mother delivers a cut so badly, George. You should look through your victim, not over her head. And your father... Oh, George, forgive me. The truth is, you make me so nervous that I can't speak.
I make you nervous.
Look at my hand. Isn't it silly?
Yes, it is. If you're like this with me, I can't think what you'd have been like with Mother and Father if they'd let you come in.
No, not nervous at all. It's they whose hands would have been shaking, not mine. It's guilt makes people's hands shake, George. Conscience making cowards of us. Like you bowing to the ground and saying ladyship to an aunt you used once to call your favourite.
Why have you a conscience about me?
Because of something I'm going to ask you to do for me. Something my conscience says I shouldn't.
What is it?
Take a letter to Merton.
To him?
To my husband.
What kind of letter?
An ordinary letter.
Does it say anything beastly, like calling Lady Hamilton a harlot?
It doesn't mention Lady Hamilton. If it did, there would be little point in reminding him of the profession she is reputed to have once followed. Now, here is the letter. As you see, the covering is blank. I haven't used my seal.
Why?
My handwriting and seal are both well known to your hostess.
You mean she'd burn it or something?
No. She would probably do the same thing with it as the last time I sent it 4 years ago. It was returned to me, and the covering had a message written on it. Opened by mistake by Lord Nelson, but not read.
In her handwriting?
No, Mr. Davidson's.
Uncle Horatio's agent?
Yes.
But Mr. Davidson used to be a great friend of yours.
So did a lot of people.
Yes, I suppose so. But look, Aunt Frances, I'm not being rude, but you know what people say about you in the family these days.
About the mischief-making Tom Tit?
Well, both Mother and Father say you do make things up about the present situation.
Why do I need to make things up?
Well, to get pity and so on.
I hate pity. I can't bear it.
Well, you can't deny you must feel pretty hostile to Lady Hamilton.
No, I can't deny that. But what I told you about that letter is true. Read what is written under the cover.
Opened by mistake by Lord Nelson, but not read. A. Davidson. It is the same letter.
Yes.
When was it written?
On December the 18th, 1801.
You will swear that there's nothing in it that will upset him or make him angry.
There is nothing in the letter itself that a wife might not write to a husband who has left her and whom she still most deeply loves. Are you going to give him that letter?
Yes.
To him personally?
Oh, of course.
Is that a promise, George?
Yes, a promise.
And of course you must not tell your mother.
Oh, is that likely?
I haven't seen you before. Three Christmases.
Aunt Frances, I don't need bribing.
No, I'm sorry. Of course, if you could let slip that I am returned to Somerset Street and would be overjoyed to set eyes on him again. Just once, alone, for a few brief moments. Not speaking at all, just looking. I'm sorry.
I forget how I began the sentence. It's a bad habit. You'd better tell him none of these things. They would only irritate him. Just tell him you were waylaid by Tom Tit in your own home and that she gave you that letter. Do explain, George. Why am I now called Tom Tit?
Don't you know?
No.
You won't mind.
Of course not.
It's the way you walk.
Where I walk?
Yes, like a bird. At least, that's what they say.
Well, of course, with my rheumatic legs. Yes, it must seem most bird-like. And does Lord Nelson call me that too?
Oh, yes.
You've heard him?
Oh, yes. It's not unkind.
No, of course, it's not unkind.
Shall I get Betsy?
No. Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
What you did to make them all so against you.
What do your mother and father say that I did?
They won't tell me. But they're always hinting it was very bad.
Perhaps it was.
What was it?
In the end, I told him he had to choose.
That's not bad.
It was for him.
But why did the whole family turn against you?
Why does your reverend Uncle William now hold a stall at Canterbury when he can't read so much as a morning collect? Why is your cousin Tom Bolton a knight before he's even 20? Why is... It doesn't matter.
You said why is and stopped. Were you going to say why is my father now director of the East India Company? Because if you were, I know the answer. Lord Liverpool spoke for him.
And who spoke for him to Lord Liverpool?
But why does Uncle Horatio hate you so much?
I don't know, George. Knowing him, there must be some good reason.
Perhaps you would care to sit down, Lord Nelson. The sight of you at that window seems to excite the crowd that has been attracted here by your visit.
Well, my lord. Have you read Collingwood's dispatch?
I have hardly had time to digest my breakfast, let alone Admiral Collingwood's dispatch.
The French and Spanish fleets are now combined and in Cadiz from where they must soon come out. For Cadiz cannot supply so vast an armada for long.
How did you learn this?
My lord, I learned the capacities of Cadiz as a supply base of my mother's need.
I meant, how did you learn the contents of Admiral Collingwood's dispatch? It was addressed to me personally and was under strict confidential cover.
My house lies on the Portsmouth Road. Mm-hmm. Captain Blackwood is an old friend, and he naturally stopped for supper last evening.
I see.
This is the dispatch, isn't it? God. Old Col writes worse with his good hand than I do with my bad.
You realize that not even Mr. Pitt has read this dispatch yet.
I earnestly hope that you have at least sent a fast runner to Downing Street with its main contents, Lord Barham. For what Mr. Pitt must certainly do now is to send
every... Perhaps you'd be good enough to tell me what I should do now. By the way, the name is pronounced Barham.
I'm very sorry, my lord. A junior vice admiral should at least know how to pronounce the name of his first lord.
I see no reason. It's a very new title and a very new appointment.
By God, I like you. I was told I wouldn't, but I do.
Thank you, Lord Nelson. What was it that I should do now?
Annihilate the enemy's fleet at Cadiz. If you reinforce Collingwood with everything that you have, we may at last begin to win this war.
May I be blunt? Does everything that I have include Nelson?
No. Ah. I must remind your lordship of what I told you 2 days ago when you awarded me sick leave. I remain a very sick man.
It will grieve Mr. Pitt. He will certainly want it. So, of course, will the country.
The country and Mr. Pitt expect too much of me. I am crippled, blind, infirm, and nearly dead with the service of Mr. Pitt and my country. and I am not now needed. The ships and the men and the commander for the battle will be the best that we have, and when they come on the enemy, the plan of battle is already laid out.
Your plan, my lord?
If Collingwood uses it, it will be his. And he will use it, I'm sure. For complete annihilation, it is the only one. But
I would be interested to hear it.
Perhaps another time. I'm keeping a certain lady waiting.
I'm sorry, my lord. Perhaps at your convenience, you would draft it for me as a memorandum.
I've already done so, my lord. It will be delivered to you before the end of the morning.
I will be happy to study it, my lord.
May I take my leave?
Of course.
Oh, for the sake of heaven, Barham, show some humanity. I haven't seen her for 2 years. 2 years in a cabin, never a foot on shore, often ague-ridden, sometimes seasick, always racked with doubts and jealousies. The fevers of the middle-aged lover, no reason. They grow to an obsession. No, Barham, the love of Jesus. Try to see my case.
I see your case. I'm indeed most sorry for it.
Then you'll take that look of disapproval from your face?
My face can hardly express what I do not feel. A case such as yours is not one to be either approved or disapproved. It is simply to be accepted.
With understanding and compassion?
With compassion.
I am rebuked.
No, my lord. I rebuke myself. I have too dull and prosaic a soul to attempt understanding of such gothic and extravagant matters as the fevers of a middle-aged obsession. Would you care to take this?
What is it?
The Lords of the Admiralty's testimonial in your recent operation in the Atlantic.
Oh.
It is quite worth reading, and will only intrude an hour or two on your lordship's well-earned leisure.
Your servant, Lord Barham. Barham.
Lord Nelson.
Eccellenza!
Oh, fat off.
Eccellenza, signorino Macho is here.
Oh, your match, Francesca. It's the middle of the night.
It's midday, Eccellenza.
Oh, give me some porter.
Here, Eccellenza.
Con cognac?
Naturalmente.
Not naturalmente at all. It just happens that this morning I happen to need it late. Oh. What's this young Maxim like?
Un ragazzo normale, ordinario.
No nephew of Nelson's can be an ordinary boy. How do I look?
Bellissima, Emma Hamilton. Come sempre.
Bitch. Bring him in. And then get me another porter.
Con cognac?
Pochissimo.
Then you must eat.
Oh, my stomach couldn't take food this morning. Well, perhaps I'll toy with a piece of cold mutton in my bath.
Her Excellency will see you. Come.
Good morning, Your Ladyship.
My dearest little George Matcham. Come here and let me kiss you. Oh. You must forgive me, my little George, for receiving you in my bed, but this morning, for some reason, I am afflicted with the plaguiest migraine ever.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lady Hamilton.
Don't call me Lady.
Oh, what shall I call you?
Aunt, of course. Aunt Emma.
Aunt Emma.
Well, dear young George, aren't you excited to be here and coming down to Myrtle?
Oh, yes, of course I am.
You favour your father, I see, with perhaps a touch of my Nelson about the eyes.
Oh, do you really think so?
His poor eyes. Yes, you have, George. You're proud of that? Of course you are. To be Job's nephew gives you a place on Olympus, too. I call him Great Job sometimes to tease him, but it's not far from the truth, my opinion. Great Job, immortal of all immortals.
Look out!
Oh, bring it. Me porter all over the poxy bed.
Lord Minto has sent up his card,
Eccellenza. Lord Minto? I'd better get up, I suppose. Show him in here. He lives in Scotland or somewhere, quite in the wilderness nowadays. He was our ambassador in Vienna when me and my Nelson visited there. Will the water keep hot?
Ci stanno due brocche ancora, Vienna.
He's coming down with us to Merton, George.
Lord Minto, your ladyship.
Dear Lady Hamilton, exquisite pleasure after so long.
I don't know that I'm speaking to you, Minto. Since Vienna, you've avoided me like the pox.
Dear lady, since Vienna, I've avoided everyone like the plague who doesn't happen to live in Roxburghshire.
My aunt, it doesn't take you long to leave your beloved Roxburghshire when you hear my Nelson's back in England. Lord Minto is loved by Lord Nelson, best of all persons in the world, George. Oh. Second only to me, of course. Isn't that true, Minto?
I'd be happy to think so, my lady. But you should have added that I run you a very poor second. For the competition provided by your ladyship is, to say the very least, large.
Large?
I meant that I unhappily possessed neither the figure nor the gender to compete in such a race.
Every word you say makes it worse, you beast. Oh, this is young George Matcham, my Nelson's nephew.
Mr. Matcham?
Lord Minto.
I assure your ladyship, my compliments to you, clumsy as they are, bear no allusion whatever to your most handsome embonpoint, which suits you as always quite admirably.
If you did possess my gender, I'd just call you bitch and have done. Oh, well, it's happiness makes me fat. And let me tell you, Minto, I've heard no objection about that from the only source that matters. Anyway, when my Nelson goes to sea again next year, I'll pine away to a shadow, see if I don't.
Next year?
Is he not due a year's rest?
He's due a lifetime.
A lifetime wouldn't last him long if you and your politician friends had you away. But you won't have you away, none of you. He's given me his word on that, and that's not lightly given.
I know it is.
Nor lightly broken, neither. So I want no meddling, Minto, from you or anyone else. See?
Meddling? The epithet bitch I could perhaps agree to be saddled with, my lady, saving my gender. But meddler? Never. So, may it just be bitch?
I could like you, Minto, if you'd ever let me.
Il bagno di vostra eccellenza si sta raffreddando.
Vengo, vengo, aspetto un momento. I got angry with what you said about large. Yes, you caught me there, I grant. Still, would you have me a flagpole? Perhaps you think my Nelson would, so that he could more easily run up his flag. But his flag does well enough as it is. Thank you very much. Last night, it was nailed to the mast at no surrender, and with the signals all at close action. George, into the next room with you.
Yeah. Yes, Lady
Hamilton. Aunt Emma!
Sorry, Aunt Emma.
Did he understand that?
At that age, they understand most things and enjoy them just as keenly as your ladyship.
Oh. But I must go and have my bath before it freezes. George, come back and talk to Lord Minto now, but don't listen to a word he says about me, because he hates me like the pox. Which is nothing, of course, save the greatest jealousy.
Who now, my lady, is the bitch? Ah, madam. Do I need to tell you that what our hostess just said is a joke? You look as much surprised, Mr. Matcham. Remove it. It will not be popular, Merton.
Are you fond of Lady Hamilton?
I am fond of Lady Hamilton. She's a very generous and good-hearted lady. Loyal, passionate, and kind.
Kind?
Very kind. Except, of course, to her enemies. But as they are mainly Neapolitan revolutionaries...
I was thinking of an enemy near her home.
Why fret about her either?
She's my aunt.
An aunt superseded by events. You now have an Aunt Emma.
If only you could explain...
Explain what?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I shouldn't ask.
I don't think you should, Master Matcham. Not because the question is likely to be improper, but because it is likely to be unanswerable. What does Lord Nelson see in her? Is that what you want explained?
Yes.
What does one person see in another person? That question has been asked since the beginning of time and will be asked at the end of it, and there's very rarely any answer, Master Matcham.
Above all things, I don't understand how you could allow Lady Hamilton to treat his wife the way she does.
Your ex-Aunt Frances?
Yes.
In what way does she treat her? Does she send poisoned pork pies to Bath?
She's bribed his whole family to desert her.
Well, they've deserted her readily enough. And I'd say that any bribes have been his, not hers.
Oh, no, that's a lie!
Mr. Matchell, you are not quite old enough yet to challenge, and not quite young enough to put across my knee. I really think you must withdraw that observation.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, my lord, but it couldn't be Lord Nelson. It just couldn't be, that's all I meant.
Very likely not. It hardly matters anyway, as the wife in question is, I hear, perfectly content with her 2,000 a year and her reflected glory in a society at Bath.
That is not true.
Again, sir?
I mean, I know that isn't true. I've seen her recently and she's very, well, upset.
Really? Tears? You learn one day that the tears of a neglected but comfortably pensioned off grass widow aren't always very real.
Hers were real.
When did you last see her?
A week ago. And she gave me a letter to deliver to her husband.
You must, of course, on no account deliver it.
Oh, my lord, I must.
Must?
I gave my word.
Oh, God, deliver me from a schoolboy's honor. Do you want to destroy your uncle's peace of mind?
No, heavens, no.
Then give me that letter and let me tear it up. Or better still, return it to her unread.
It's already been returned to her, opened and unread. Well, that's why I'm taking it down, so that this time at least he'll receive it.
You will give me that letter at once, sir.
It's under lock and key.
You have the key on you?
No. You can put your sword to my throat, my lord, but I'll give that letter to only one man, the man to whom it was addressed.
This is no matter for boyish heroics, sir. You have a charge of gunpowder under lock and key, and you apparently intend to ignite it in your uncle's face. And all because a jealous wife squeezed out some easy tears into your lap.
She cried the way I've never seen anyone cry before my whole life. She cried from deep, deep down in herself as if she were ill. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
You can at least postpone delivery a little.
I must give it to him before I leave Merton.
Where is Lady Nelson? Still in Bath?
No, in London. At her house in Somerset Street.
Yeah. I shall have to speak to her most urgently, which will put me in the unlikely role of trying to put out a fire in a powder magazine. I have no doubt but that I'll be blown to pieces with no posthumous medal for gallantry to console my family.
He brought the biggest crowd yet. I was looking out of the closet window.
Was that quite wise, my lady?
Oh, you're such a prude. The crowd have often seen me with nothing on. They like it.
I'm sure,
they were holding up babies for him to bless. Oh, George. Aren't you proud?
Yes.
I nearly huzzaed myself out of the window.
That would have pleased the cartoonists.
The cartoonists? Huh? Those buggers aren't worth my piss. Oh, you kept your promise.
Did you doubt me?
Oh, in that poxy admiralty, I always doubt you. Those people in there could get you to go out tomorrow. How did you ask for a year?
I didn't specify.
You promised.
I just told him I was not going out now to Cadiz and repeated that I was on sick leave. But it'll be a year, my heart. Never fear, a whole year, I promise.
Oh, I do fear, Nelson.
Don't.
Oh, we have company.
Hmm? Oh, why, Minto. Lord Nelson. You've obeyed your command. No. By God, I'm most heartily flattered and more happy to see you than I can properly tell you. You've grown thin. Well, we'll alter that at Merton. Emma's the most perfect housekeeper in the world, if a thought exists. Emma, why are you undressed?
Oh, we're not really men, now.
One's a boy, and the other's a... well, he's from Roxburgh.
Captain Hardy is here, your ladyship.
Well, show him up.
Si, signora.
Now, Hardy, I'll agree, does count as a man. And what's more, he thinks I'm the whore of Babylon, even when I'm in me winter woolies. Now, not be long.
May I come in with you?
You'd best receive your precious Hardy here first, hadn't
you? I'm not anxious to. You of all people know why.
Coward. Scared of his own flood, Captain. What a hero. You tell him now and get it over.
The crowd seems even bigger than after Copenhagen. It's surprising after 2 years. Oh, how I long sometimes to walk in London unrecognized. But how can I do it?
Perhaps, Uncle Horatio, if you didn't wear all your stars and decorations.
You're quite right, George. It's my vanity that betrays me.
Well, I didn't mean that.
Captain Hardy.
Hardy.
My lord.
My nephew, George Matcham.
Captain Hardy.
And Lord Minto, whom I expect you know.
Oh, yes. It's a great pleasure.
Mine too, Captain.
Her ladyship?
Is getting ready. I think perhaps if you'll excuse me.
Before you go, you must tell me, is the rumor true?
What rumor?
The Villeneuve has tapped himself in Cadiz with the whole enemy fleet.
Yes, Hardy, it's true.
I can hardly believe it. And after 2 years chasing, we catch him at last. We must come out of there soon, mustn't we?
Yes, we must.
So when do we sail?
You will probably receive your orders to sail Victory South very soon, for it's sure that Admiral Collingwood will need every ship that can be spared.
Admiral Collingwood?
Yes. The Victory is still a good enough ship for the kind of pell-mell battle that Collingwood is likely to have to fight. Perhaps he'll choose to fly his flag in her rather than the Royal Sovereign. I know I would if I had my choice, in spite of the Royal Sovereign's new copper and the Victory's barnacles of 2 years. Captain Hardy?
Well, Nelson.
It's good to have you with us, Minto.
I need some rum.
I don't think she keeps it.
Well, not keep rum. What kind of admiral's lady is she?
In some things, unsuitable.
In some things.
It's good wine, Captain, and brandy, of course.
There's nothing here that's English at all.
Yes, there is.
Gin. A whore's drink. Well, I'll have it. This is suitable, wouldn't you say, my lord?
He has been away for 2 years, Captain.
Yes. So have I. Your health, sir.
You know, I'm not sure even this gin isn't foreign.
They do make a passable gin in Naples.
I wish to heaven he'd never seen that godforsaken place. And if you two gentlemen care to repeat that remark, I'll bear the consequences like a man.
They could be heavy.
They couldn't be much heavier than now.
Collingwood's flag and the Victory.
I'll shoot it down myself. Captain Hardy. What honor you do me.
It is I who have the honor, your ladyship.
The crowd is now quite immense. Did they give you a cheer, Captain, when you came to the doorstep?
I am hardly known to them, my lady.
You should be, and one day you will be, I'm sure. One day, everyone about my Nelson will be known. Minto, you are to come in the carriage with us. My lord thinks it's more proper.
The word I used was seemly, and my propriety was not in my thought.
Nor ever will be, I trust. George, you and Captain Hardy are to follow in the second carriage.
By heaven, George, you have grown. You must tell your mother to get you a new jacket.
I'll buy George several new suits before he goes. At the best tailor's, that's the promise.
And most Emma-like in its extravagance. Perhaps just one new suit.
And new boots to go with them.
I'm glad you're traveling with us, Minto. We have a little matter of business to discuss. The question of a loan to be raised at my banker's. In such matters, I am, as you know, a very great baby indeed.
I'll not deny it. And as regards babies, I haven't yet asked about Horatio.
Oh, Minto. She's such an exquisite little creature now. I'm so proud of her, and so is Emma.
She'd be five or thereabouts. 4 and 5 months exactly.
Can't we go down?
No. Let them get their hussars.
We'll be anonymous. Follow later.
I'll go and watch at the door.
So, they're cheering heartily.
Some of them are laughing.
Are they? By God.
They're laughing at Nelson.
With Lady Hamilton. After you, sir. We are part of this cavalcade.
What a pleasure, Lord Minto. And how very unexpected. I thought you were one of my husband's privileged guests at Merton. Or so it says in the Times.
Yes, but I shall be returning for dinner.
That doesn't give you very long, then.
Most unhappily, no. And I'm especially commanded not to be late.
Lady Hamilton is to give one of her exhibitions.
She prefers to call them attitudes.
How amusing. They're rather more than attitudes, I understand.
Indeed. They would hardly be out of place on the stage at Drury Lane, except that they would be. Lady Nelson, you may be wondering why I am calling on you.
I don't wonder. I think I know. Young George has taken you into his confidence.
Yes.
That is what I have guessed. No, Lord Minto, I will not empower you to release my nephew from his promise. That is what you were going to ask, as you.
My lady, a letter of such ancient date, and one that has already been returned to you.
It was not returned to me by my husband, to whom it was addressed, but by his mistress. But if my nephew George cares to break his promise, that is his affair. You may tell him from me that I won't be angry.
If I tell him that, it will bind him even more strongly to his word of honor.
Yes, he is an honorable boy, my nephew George.
You realize that your honorable nephew may well be blamed for his part in this affair.
But why? He has an honorable uncle.
My lady, forgive me. But in breaking an agreement of silence between you and your husband, are you sure you are acting so honorably yourself?
There was no agreement of silence. There never has been.
But there must then have been some agreement between you to separate utterly?
No, none. You see, Lord Minto, it was not he who deserted me, but I who deserted him. He never wanted it so. I was needed. I was needed for respectability. And I failed him. And I did fail him, I suppose. He turned to his family, and for the same reason.
With certain inducements.
Large ones. I don't blame them.
My lady, what do you hope to gain by this?
The truth.
The truth is that this is the woman he has chosen, the woman he now loves and who loves him, the woman he will never leave. Ever, my lady, from now till doomsday. Now, do you understand that?
No man could love that woman for life. That is not possible, my lord. She knows it well, and she is already afraid.
Doomsday will not happen very soon.
No, but it will happen.
Is it worth your waiting?
Yes.
For how long?
Forever.
You speak of eternity, Lady Nelson?
No, Lord Minto. I speak of his old age. That at least will be mine, as was his youth. You may tell young George that if he has any doubt at all about the contents of that letter, he has my full permission to read it and to judge of its propriety himself.
I shall do so. But I earnestly advise you, Lady Nelson, do not abuse yourself with too much hope.
Lord Minto, if I am to give up hope, so then must they. They must cease to picture me as the invalid of Bath. I am not in a decline. I am not going to die. That, if you care to, you may tell him. And as coming from me. Lord Minto.
The crown of the earth doth melt, and withered is the garland of the war. The odds is gone, and there is nothing left remarkable beneath the visiting moon. The soldier's poll is fallen. Young boys and girls are level now with men. Great Antony is gone. Give me my robe. Put on my crown. I have immortal longings in me. Husband, I come. And to that name, my courage prove my title. I am fire and air. I come. I come. The rest is silence. Oh.
Bravo!
You are never better on my life.
Magnificent as always, dearest lady. It is not a piece I've heard from you before.
Oh, Shakespeare's Cleopatra has always been one of Emma's favorite heroines.
Of course.
What do you mean by that, Minto?
Of course, Emma Hamilton would have as her favorite that other lass unparalleled.
Lass unparalleled? Well, I'll accept unparalleled at any hour, and at 10 in the evening I'll even believe in lass. Captain Blackwood, you are new to this house, and so new to my little entertainment.
Well, at Naples once I had the privilege of...
Of course, at Naples. Your frigate was in the bay, and Sir William and I came aboard. But my performance this evening, how did you find that?
Oh, quite pitiful. I mean...
The word you used to me about the performance, Blackwood, was affecting.
Oh, yes, affecting was what I meant. I was most deeply affected by the whole thing.
I am flattered. It takes much, I'm sure, to affect the gallant captain of the Euryalus. Have I made one?
No, my love. The name was most nobly remembered. It is, in fact, Captain Blackwood's Euryalus that lately brought us the news from Cadiz about Villeneuve.
Oh, of course. And he goes back in her tomorrow, you said. I wish you a fair wind, Captain. I suppose... When Collingwood fights you a battle, they'll make him an earl.
You grudge him that?
I wouldn't grudge old Coll being made arse flicker in ordinary to his majesty so I could keep my Nelson here with me. Now, what was it in my Cleopatra affected you most, Captain Blackwood?
Oh, that is a good question. Well, Lady Hamilton, when you spoke of Antony, I was made to think of another, even greater... The defender of his country.
Not too much so, I hope. This defender is alive, and so I mean to keep him, despite the underhand work of some who call him their friend. But still, Europe's great defender. His legs bestrid... But why past tense? His legs bestride the ocean, in whose livery walks crown and crowned. Realms and islands are as plates dropped from his pocket.
Emma.
I was quoting a speech of Cleopatra's. Moll Cleopatra, some officers in your fleet call me, I hear.
A very pitiful joke, my love.
But those words are Shakespeare's, and they're as true of you as they were of that silly old antique Roman when spoken by his trumpet gypsy. Captain Hardy, are you listening?
No, my lady.
In that scene, her ladyship of Egypt was something exaggerating, I think.
This ladyship of England exaggerates nothing. When I see my pillar of the world, I see great Jove himself.
It's a wonder she can see anything at all.
I heard that, Captain Hardy. This is my house. And if I should choose to toast the guest who does such honor to this roof in what to you a Puritan mind might seem a glass too many of brandy and champagne, then I think that should be my affair and not yours, don't you?
I do indeed, my lady. It was only that my Puritan mind hadn't perhaps quite grasped the fact that this was your ladyship's house.
Merton is our house, Hardy. Your house, everyone's house who comes to visit it. And most certainly it is Emma's. Emma, my dearest, Captain Hardy is anxious.
You haven't yet spoken of my performance, Captain. I am afraid you were most heartily bored by my drunken posturing.
Emma.
Not bored, Lady Hamilton.
Emma, I must beg you to stop the stupidity. All that Hardy meant was...
I know well all that Captain Hardy meant, and so does he. He meant that I'm not your wife, Nelson, not by virtue of Mother Church. Well, Captain, a
fox on Mother Church. I am, by everything that is just and honest in this world, the true and only wife of this man here, the father of my child, Horatia.
Emma, please stop this
to
now.
To all people in this house, Captain, to my lord's family, to my lord's friends, to my lord's servants even, I am Lord Nelson's wife. To the whole of England, I am his wife. And a pox on that old madman of Windsor and his German bitch of a queen. There's my loyal toast, Captain Hardy. To the whole of the rest of England, I, Emma Hamilton, am the true wife of Lord Nelson.
Excepting, I would suppose, to Lady Nelson.
Hardy, that was unforgivable.
I should leave.
No. You stay here, Hardy. I command it.
Tell that booker to get out of this house now and never come back. Nelson, I command you.
You command me in most things, Emma, but not in that.
Oh, indeed. Then perhaps I should leave your lordship's house. Francesca, have my carriage brought round at once.
Subito, Excellenza, subito.
Francesca, you'll pay no attention to that. Emma, you will apologize to Captain Hardy for what you have just said about the King and Queen. Also to Captain Blackwood.
Apologize? Are you mad?
They are serving naval officers of His Majesty the King who must not ever be spoken of in such terms in their hearing. Never. Understand me?
Because they've sworn a vow of loyalty to his old lunacy.
Emma, you are making yourself a spectacle to strangers and above all things else in the world. I hate that. If you will apologize to the Captain, we will forget it all.
And you'll love me after. You'll vow that.
I will love you always. That needs no vow. You know it.
I don't know it. If I did, there might be no need for apologies now.
Do it, please, Emma. For my sake.
I'll do better than you are. To show them I meant no real disrespect, I'll sing them the national anthem. Can I do fairer than that? And isn't it the proper way to round off a performance? Kitty? Where's Kitty?
Yes, over here.
Kitty, I want you to play the national anthem while I sing it.
Oh, most gladly.
Join we great Nelson name first on the rolls of fame. Him let us sing. Spread we his fame around, honor of British ground, who may Nile's shores resound. God save my king. That is the only verse I know or care to learn.
I am, as always, most deeply flattered by those words, Emma. Hardy, shall we talk in the dining room? Blackwood, will you join us? Do you carry that despatch for detail?
Aye, aye, my lord.
If the rest of you should happen to be going to your beds, then I'll bid you all a collective good night and a most pleasant rest until tomorrow.
Good night, brother.
Good night, brother-in-law. Good night, uncle. Good night.
You are loving aunt, sister, sister-in-law, and fellow guest echoes those sentiments. A pleasant rest above all that. A pleasant rest indeed.
Good night.
Good night, my lady.
Mentor, you stay.
It is rather late.
When have you ever found 11:10 late?
Well, I have some papers.
Don't desert me in my distress. Mentor, I know you think me a vulgar, drunken slut.
Whatever gave your ladyship that idea?
I don't give a fart for being thought what I am. But if I'm vulgar, it's not just because I'm a blacksmith's daughter, but because I'm plain vulgar. And would be if I were the daughter of a duke, which to a couple of dukes I could mention I almost have been, and God save us from all incestuous thoughts. So vulgar I always was, and vulgar I'll always remain, and for choice. But slut, what of that, Minto?
Your ladyship's generosity is known to be prodigious. Why should it have stopped short of the bed?
I've been generous enough. I didn't ever take money except in my teens. And old Sir William, he had no cause for complaint. He didn't want much, poor old love. But what with my standing stark naked for hours on a plinth in drafty rooms while he pottered about in his special fashion, I caught a plaguey lot of colds. Poor old Sir William. Well, I was an honest wife to him in my own way. Oh, yes, that was Sir William's way, too. Cuckolded by England's greatest hero. Kept the old boy alive. Oh. Get me another drink, love. It's good for forgetting fear.
I might remind your ladyship that it's also good for becoming drunk.
Do you think I get drunker now than when we met 5 years ago?
Your ladyship has never seemed averse from fortifying by artificial aids the vivacity already richly endowed by nature.
Jesus.
I think you drink more now and get less drunk.
Yes. You're a sharp one, Minto. Nothing much escapes you, does it? I'm scared of Ardy, and he knows it. He's trying to shame Nelson into going out again himself. He's foxy, that Ardy. I fear that I might be sunk by Captain Hardy's hornpipe.
I don't think so.
You don't? I still look well enough, do I?
As desirable as when you sat for Romney.
Don't say that. I can eat flattery, God knows. But if you mention Romney, then I'll know you're lying.
I didn't say beautiful. I said desirable.
A candlelight to a man half blind. Oh, brandy tears.
You must know that by candlelight or daylight, Nelson will always see you as Romney saw you, as his divine lady.
But how do I see myself? Answer me that. When I get up in the morning to look at myself in my glass, don't you think I don't say to myself, but he can't love that. Not that. It's too absurd. So Francesca fills me up with a few tankards of porter and brandy at breakfast, and by evening I'm the divine lady again, and I'm saying, but of course Nelson loves me, and he's damn lucky to have me. But tonight's different, I don't know. Oh, my Nelson, I do love him.
I think you do.
Only think, Minto. By heaven, I love my Nelson more than I love life. No. That's an attitude. I mustn't attitudinize about my feelings for Nelson. Well, I suppose the truth is that I love Nelson because he sees me in the only way I can ever bear to be seen by any lover now. Been in there long enough. Shall I see if my art still works? We have a signal, an absolute signal. He's never failed to answer it yet. Mind you, after the way I behaved tonight. Well, we'll see. I behaved so badly tonight that you'll never forgive me.
Emma!
Oh, the culprit begs forgiveness.
Emma. Emma.
Good night, your ladyship. Lord Nelson.
Oh, my lord, I have most grievously offended, and I hereby submit myself to your lordship's great will.
You know what my will is, Emma. Whether it's great is another matter, but it's unquenchable.
No, I must first have you of gracious pardon. Oh. And on my knees.
I beg it.
Must we behave like this? There's no one here.
Well, I thought you'd like to see me on my knee before you, admitting to my fault and craving humble indulgence.
I'd like to see you in any position before me, but not now in an attitude. Oh.
You don't like my attitude.
You know I adore them as I adore you, but not always, dearest Emma. Not when we're alone.
No.
Mm.
No. I was very bad, wasn't I?
Forgotten.
Didn't I call him a booker?
Yes, but let us hope inaccurately.
Oh, I shamed you in front of all. Why'd you put up with me?
Don't you know why yet?
Have you finished talking to your captain?
Another 5 minutes.
I make it so good.
You don't need to make it anything but what it always is, and that is bliss enough.
Whose attitude am I in?
Oh, it's not an attitude, my dearest, dearest heart. If you could only know the joy, the wonder. You see, my hand is trembling.
And that's not all. Come up very soon. When I do shame you, it's only out of love and fear of you.
How could you ever lose me? Come in, dear George. What is it?
I'm leaving early in the morning, and I wanted to thank you both for this most memorable 4 days of my life.
Dearest George, I have loved having you as my guest at Merton. And I promise I'll make sure it won't be long before you return.
I am most grateful, my lady.
What's this, my lady, again?
I'm sorry, Aunt Emma. May I speak to you, Uncle?
Of course.
Now, don't be long. And you tell your Captain Hardy I'm sorry for having called him a booker.
You've been a most pleasant guest, George, with a growing into a fine young man. As her ladyship says, you'll always be welcome at Merton.
Thank you. There's just one other thing. You may be angry.
With you? Never.
I've brought you a letter from your wife.
That you should never have done.
I gave a promise.
That, too, you should not have done. To whom did you give this promise?
To Aunt Frances.
Don't call her that! Where did you meet Lady Nelson?
In Bath. By accident.
Where were your father and mother?
They'd just gone on the London coach.
And you were alone?
Yes.
By accident. Very well, you fulfill your promise and never make such a promise again.
No, Horatio.
Well, it's not you who are to blame, I suppose. Go to bed.
There's just one thing else. I promised her that you would read it.
How did you dare do that?
I didn't know how you felt then. But I thought, whatever's happened, a husband can surely still read a letter from his wife. Especially you.
Especially me?
Especially when the husband is you, of all people in the world.
Oh. Well, thank you for the compliment. But this is a husband of all husbands in the world who happens to prefer to think his wife is no longer alive.
But she is alive, isn't she, Uncle Horatio?
You double-dealing, treacherous dog! I'll have you kicked out of the house tonight and never come back. Kitty! Kitty, come down here at once! And Matcham, too, come down! I'll make you regret this trick you've played on me for the rest of your life.
But I played no trick, Uncle.
To bring me a letter of such vileness that I had to return it to her 3 years ago.
Vileness? How can you say that about it?
You read this letter, George?
Yes.
She gave it to you to read.
She said I could, just to make sure it wasn't what you've just called it. And it wasn't vile.
Don't be impertinent. What's this?
It has nothing to do with you, Emma.
Nothing to do with me? With you shouting in a rage all over the house and now shaking like you had the palsy. And it's nothing to do with me. Tell me this instant.
I won't speak of it now or probably ever. Just take this boy away from me, please.
Why, what has George done?
I don't know. But I think he's brought some letter from Tom Tick.
Is that true?
I tell you, it's none of your business.
A secret letter from Tom Tit to you are not my business.
Leave me be. I must go out.
Are you mad? You're certainly not going out in this weather, Nelson. And you're not leaving this room until I have a proper explanation.
Lady Hamilton is right. It's madness to go out in this weather.
This is my house and not yet Lady Hamilton's.
although she is sometimes pleased to think that it is otherwise. If I wish to leave it for my garden, I do so without her permission. Give me that lantern. By your leave, Lady Hamilton.
Lady Hamilton! Nelson! Nelson! Nelson!
A couple of prizes, perhaps, and some damage to their flagship. Perhaps some damage to one or two of ours, which must happen when two lines of warships sail in parallel, exchanging broadsides.
Parallel? Are you mad? Study my plan again.
I've had many hours tonight to study it, my lord. Laid out with all your silver on the table, it looks very pretty.
God damn it, Hardy, where in places on that table are two parallel lines of battle? You're mad or drunk, sir? The two British lines of battle point at right angles to the enemy line, one at his heart, the other at his liver. The very genius of the plan is to reverse completely all the rules by which naval battles until now have been fought and to abolish parallel lines altogether. This is annihilation, Hardy.
Yes, my lord, I've often heard you say so.
After this battle, the French and Spanish fleets must never put to sea again. Not a single ship among them. God damn your eyes, Hardy. If my plan means anything at all, it means victory so complete and absolute that we will rule the seas and oceans for perhaps 100 years.
Oh, yes, it is a very pretty plan.
Pretty? Pretty? But God, Hardy, if I had two arms, I'd throttle you for that.
Well, I only meant that it looks pretty on your dining table, my lord. I also meant that your dining table was not the Atlantic Ocean.
I've thought of everything, haven't I?
Nearly everything.
What have I left out?
Yourself.
Oh, do you think I can be caught by so foolish and obvious a trap? Collingwood is a great commander.
Not great, say good.
Good enough to win a battle with this plan.
If he uses it. Myself, I believe that no admiral in the world would risk losing his entire fleet in a single afternoon by following a revolutionary plan of battle, never tried before, and conceived by a genius who has decided to be absent from the action. Well, my lord, by your leave to go to bed, the thought of it is infinitely inviting.
My lord, I trust I don't interrupt.
No, I think Captain Hardy has said all he had to say.
Lord Nelson.
Lord Minto. I have a message for you. Her ladyship feels herself so mortified by the events of tonight that she has found herself in honor-bound... forgive me, to lock and bolt the doors of her bedroom. And she wishes me categorically to affirm that no knock or entreaties, however loud and piteous, will induce her to open them before midday.
Oh, dear.
When she has ordered her carriage to take her on a round of visits to various gentlemen with whom she feels she will be a more welcome guest than under your lordship's roof. Now, I trust I've delivered her correctly. I was particularly to remember the part about the roof. So if your lordship will forgive me, I will return to my bed and pray to be allowed to sleep reasonably undisturbed by the ensuing commotion.
Hello, young man. Where are you up to?
Who's there? George? Come in here at once. Where are you going at this hour? You're not due to leave until 8. Yes. You're running away.
Yes.
From me and Lady Hamilton? Well, that I understand. The wife from your father and mother.
I don't want them talking to me. They'll ask questions that I can't answer. Please, I don't want to talk to you either. May I go?
No. George, whatever it was I said that upset you, you must forget it.
May I go?
You still have that letter?
Yes.
You're going to return it to her?
No, of course not. If I see her, I'll just say I delivered it as I promised and that you read it.
And called it vile?
No, never.
Why are you keeping it?
To read again.
Why?
I might understand.
Might you? I don't think you will.
Nor do I.
Will you promise never to show it to anyone else in the world?
What kind of person do you think I am?
A very good, brave, and most honorable boy. A nephew I am proud to have. Oh, don't laugh. Too many people laugh at me these days. Despise me if you like, but don't laugh. What I just said was true. Well, very well, George. Here it is. 16 Somerset Street, the 18th of December, 1801. My dearest husband, it is some time that I have written to you. The silence you have imposed is more than my affection will allow me.
Let.
And in this instance, I hope you will forgive me for not obeying you. One thing I omitted in my letter of July, which I now have to offer for your accommodation, a comfortable, warm house.
My heart.
Do, my dear husband, let us live together. I can never be happy until such an event takes place. I assure you again, I have but one wish in the world, to please you. Let everything be buried in oblivion. It will pass away like a dream.
Don't
hear it out. A few more tears tonight won't hurt. I can only entreat you to believe I am most sincerely and affectionately your wife, Frances H. Nelson. You see that you and she need have had no fears that I didn't read it.
And sent it back with that message.
I, of all people in the world.
What did she do to you to make you do that? It must be something really dreadful.
It was.
What was it?
She wrote me that letter. Oh, dear. Must I explain? Is this so important to you?
Most important thing on earth.
It won't save my honor, which you seem to cherish.
If it's true, it will.
It's true. George, when one has done wrong to someone, an open wrong, a shameful and humiliating wrong, a wrong on an epic scale, to be forgiven for it is the very hell. I shock you, of course. You're my reverend father's grandson, and to answer forgiveness by hatred must seem unchristian, at the least. But is it? Jesus told us how to answer a blow on the cheek, but he never told us how to answer a kiss. I haven't always been a bad Christian, George. I've even managed, sometimes, to love my enemies a little. But, George... George, what about an enemy who won't retaliate, who answers every broadside with a signal, gently fluttering at the mast, which says, whatever you do to me, my dearest husband, I will always forgive you and go on loving you forever. What about that enemy, George? What is there, then, left for me but to hate? Have you understood even a little?
No.
Well, you're in good company. Go back to your room now. No more of this nonsense of running away. It's cowardly to run away. Didn't you know that? Well, then, back to bed. Good night, George.
Good night, Uncle Horatio.
Oh.
Oh, Nelson. Forgive me.
For what, my dearest?
Or whatever I did.
What was it?
I thought you'd tell me.
I can't, Emma. I don't know.
I've been so scared.
What of?
That you'd left me.
I'll never leave you, Emma. Not until death.
Have you been drinking brandy?
Rather a lot, it seems.
Learning from me, eh?
Oh, I haven't quite your own regal capacity for the stuff.
Well, you're not doing too badly for a beginner. Shall we have one now? Together?
Why not?
What shall we drink to?
To Emma? And her Nelson? What else? Ow.
Oh! You spoiled your pretty plan.
Yes. Did you too think it pretty?
Very pretty. And I'd have kept this table laid out just this way to show visitors exactly how Nelson won his battle off Cadiz.
Exactly how Collingwood won Nelson's battle off Cadiz.
I said how Nelson won it.
Emma, I have not asked you.
No, but you were going to.
No, my dearest, you are wrong. I would never, never have asked.
But you might have called me Lady Hamilton a little more and shown a greater fancy for going out alone in the rain as the time of Collingwood's battle approached. Oh. I love my Nelson, but I love all of him. I don't want him only half a man, with a better half pining to be out at sea.
Has Hardy talked with you tonight?
That bugger, I wouldn't soil my lips.
Oh, Emma. My darling.
Oh. It wasn't only that thought, Nelson, to be really truthful.
You always are really truthful.
Well, I can exaggerate a bit, like paying a round of visits to various gentlemen. I wouldn't want to be thought of as a woman who kept you from going out when the country needed you. It is my country too, you know.
You too think I'm needed?
There's only one Nelson in the world, but he's mine, mine alone.
Truly only yours.
Mine to keep. And mine to give, too. Only one thing, my darling. This time, take care.
Yes, my lord.
Don't leave your Emma alone and desert
you. I won't.
Swear it properly. Swear that this time you'll do all that lies in your power not to get yourself killed.
I will do all that lies in my power not to leave my Emma alone and deserted. And that I do most solemnly swear to before God.
Well, you're good with vows, and you do your best to keep them. You'd have kept the one about not going out, you say?
Yes, I do. Oh, my Emma, I love you so deeply.
No, Nelson, that won't do at all. I want something more memorable, something I can quote to my friends. I've thought of something.
I would expect that you might have.
I wrote it down in my journal in bed. Oh, yes. You didn't need to risk any agues in a wet garden. I'd have told you all this in bed. But I wanted you to know I was giving you, not having you filched from me by an underhand, contriving prick of a flag captain. Now, let me remember. I know. Dear Emma, brave Emma, if there were more Emmas in the world, there'd be more Nelsons. How'd you like that?
I like it very much. I like it because it's absolutely true.
Not really. Nelsons are born, not made.
They can sometimes be reborn. My pretty battle. Well, we shall see.
What are those sauce boats?
The lead ships of our two attacking lines.
One of them now, the Victory, I suppose.
Well, it may be.
And now, with you in it.
It will be my flagship, Emma.
But how often at this table have I heard you say that this one, the Victory, will have to bear so heavy a weight of enemy broadsides for the best part of an hour from at least five of their biggest battleships.
Well, perhaps only four.
Holy Jesus, isn't four enough? And with you strutting about on your quarterdeck with all those stars and medals blazing like the sun.
I don't strut, Emma.
Why do you have to be in the Victory?
But I don't have to be in the Victory. I recommended to Collingwood to fly his flag in a frigate somewhere to the rear, the better to control the action.
Oh, yes. I can just see you flying your flag in a frigate somewhere to the rear.
There's no shame in that.
No shame to Collingwood, perhaps. But you a flag. Oh, yes. You do lie to me sometimes. But do you remember what you just vowed to me?
Very clearly.
Then vow another one. Vow about this.
Two vows in one morning is a little too much for the Almighty, don't you think? Especially when the one will so absolutely cover the other.
Will it? Oh.
Then leave your battle for tonight. Let's go up. Time's short. Now, do you remember your little speech?
A little speech? Oh, yes. Let me see. A brave dear Emma.
Oh, no, no, no. It's dear Emma. Brave Emma.
Dear Emma, brave Emma, if there were more Emmas. Oh, dear. I forget what would happen.
There'd be more Nelsons.
May the great God, whom I worship, grant to my country and for the benefit of Europe in general a great and glorious victory. And may no misconduct in any one tarnish it. And may humanity, after victory, be the predominant feature in the British fleet. For myself, individually, I commit my life to him who made me. And may his blessing light upon my endeavors for serving my country faithfully. To him I resign myself and the just cause which is entrusted to me to defend. Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's better you come back another day.
Well, perhaps I could leave her a note.
Francesca! Francesca! Where is the silly cow? Lady Nelson!
Lady Hamilton.
Your visit, Lady Nelson, does me great honor. To what do I attribute it?
I have news of the greatest importance for you. And I judged it best that I should be the one to give it to you, rather than you read it in the newspapers tomorrow.
I don't read the newspapers anymore. Sit down, Lady Nelson. Oh, there should be some refreshments for your ladyship.
Please, I don't need any refreshment.
Well, this ladyship does. Excuse me. Your ladyship should see the dining room before you leave. It is left exactly as he arranged it one night to show the two fleets as they were to come into action, and as they did come into action, almost exactly so from all accounts. Oh! Why don't they stop that bell? We all know Nelson's dead. Wasn't it a victory? The biggest yet, as he vowed it would be. Oh, forgive me, your ladyship. My legs are rather weak from sailing.
It was wrong of me to come. I see that now.
Why, you've come to gloat, haven't you?
No, no, that's not true. Simply not true.
If I'd been in your shoes, I'd have come down here to gloat.
No, I'm sure you would not, Lady Hamilton.
Oh, yes, I would, because that's the kind of woman I am.
I don't believe it. There is nothing that I have learnt of you that has ever indicated anything but a most wide and generous nature.
God, how easy are words.
My husband left my bed for yours. He was bound to have left it one day for somebody's. I have understood that for a long time now. Why need we quarrel because the bed happened to be yours?
We quarrel because you were my enemy. You hated me, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You were there waiting, always waiting.
I was waiting for his old age.
Well, here's to his old age, then.
Lady Hamilton, a document has arrived. Signed by Lord Nelson and duly attested. It is the last known testament of Lord Nelson's life. And it leaves you, Emma, Lady Hamilton, as a bequest to the nation.
Ah! A bequest to the nation. Me! Oh, God in heaven, I think I'll die of this. Oh, left of the nation. Me, on a plinth in Westminster Hall. Oh, my poor Nelson. What a baby he was.
Everything possible will be done to see that my lord's last wish is met. The Earl himself has agreed.
The Earl? What Earl?
Earl Nelson. William Nelson, that was my husband's brother.
So he's an earl now, is he? The arse-licking dean. And what have the rest of that grubby crew of Nelson's got? William's son, he'll be something.
The Viscount Trafalgar.
The Viscount Trafalgar. That little snotty-nosed brat. Oh, God, what a world. And my child isn't mine. And I suppose they're all back you away now. Well, it's quite a triumph for you, isn't it?
You don't understand me, Lady Hamilton.
No, I never did. I never understood you at all. I wonder what it's like to be good.
Trying to be is not always very easy.
Did you ever understand me?
No.
It's a funny world.
I think you should go back to bed and I'll say goodbye. I will do everything in my power to see that your debts are paid for by Parliament.
Parliament? They won't even put it to the vote. Oh, withered is the garland of war. Young boys and girls. I can't remember what young boys and girls did. Usual, I suppose. I can only remember the odds is gone. And there is nothing left remarkable beneath the visiting moon. It was good of you to come, Lady Nelson.
Lady Hamilton.
Funny world.
That was Bequest to the Nation by Terence Rattigan. Sean Phillips as Emma Hamilton, Michael Bryant as Lord Nelson, Anna Massey as Lady Nelson, Alan Lake as Captain Hardy, David McAllister as George Matcham Jr., and Nicholas Courtney as Lord Minto. Michael Spice played George Matcham Sr., Judy Franklin, Catherine Matcham, Alan Dudley, Lord Berham, Sean Arnold, Captain Blackwood, Diana Bishop, Betsy, and Patience Tomlinson, Francesca. The forte piano was played by David Johns, and the play was directed by David Johnston.
Sean Phillips is in Pal Joey at the Albury Theatre, London. Anna Massey is in The Seagull at the Royal Court Theatre, London. Michael Bryant is a National Theatre player.